to the Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future Deco, Modern, Retro, and other related events. Also the stories that celebrate New Zealand's history and its people, as well as book reviews and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era.
Deco Retro, Deco Retro.
Lue, 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 lue.
Good afternoon, listeners. Today our guest is Doris DuPont. Doris is the founder, curator and exhibition designer at the New Zealand Fashion Museum, the world's first online museum of fashion. Born in New Zealand to Dutch immigrant parents, Doris has always designed and made her own clothes, and it was during her OE in the Netherlands between 1978-84 that she started selling her clothes to others. Returning home to Auckland in 1984, her design practice evolved to explore how her designs could reflect both New Zealand's place in the South Pacific and our own European heritage. As an award-winning fashion designer, she was active for more than 25 years, with her design work well known and worn in New Zealand, Australia, London, Denmark, Holland and Japan. In 2009, Doris DuPont was chosen as one of four labels to represent New Zealand fashion in Together Alone, Australia and New Zealand Fashion, at the Ian Potter Centre. Examples of her garments are held in the collections of the Auckland Museum, Te Papa, Tongariro Museum of New Zealand and the National Gallery of Victoria. She retired her fashion label in 2008 and completed an honours degree in Museums and Cultural Heritage at the University of Auckland before establishing the New Zealand Fashion Museum as a charitable trust in January 2010. Since then, she has curated 15 exhibitions and published accompanying books and catalogues. She contributes to other publications and is regularly invited to comment on fashion in the media. In 2013, she was made an officer of the New Zealand Order of Merit for services to fashion. Good afternoon, Doris. It's so nice to see you here today.
Lovely to be here, Nancy.
Now, let's talk about the Fashion Museum and what it is, because you know, you visualise a museum.
Yes, well, we're a very unusual museum in that we are a museum without a building and a museum without a collection. So our way of being really is to do storytelling. And to do that storytelling, we borrow garments from people who have kept things that are precious to them.
Oh, okay.
And use those to tell a story of our home sewing in New Zealand is one of the stories we've told, to tell the story of what it was like to be a fashion designer in the 1960s compared to what it's like to do that today. We've told a lovely little story about the fashion in the 1970s.
Yes.
And we've got an exhibition on at the moment out at Te Uru Waitakere Gallery.
I did get to that the other day.
Yes.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
Really,
which is
really different in
life. Yes. And so it's telling the story of contemporary New Zealand fashion that has a Pacific inflection.
Oh, no, that's great. How do you sort of hear about these collections that people have got at home? Do people just come forward?
No, well, we have an idea. The New Zealand Fashion Museum it wants to tell the story of of New Zealanders, but we're telling the story of New Zealanders through what we wore.
Yes,
and that's,
of course.
That's over, you know, over time or of a particular time and place.
Mm.
And so we think about what's happening in society at the moment and look at that to see if we can find something that happened in the past that can speak to that, that can help people understand what's happening now.
Sort of events.
Yes, or fashion trends.
Yes.
Or the Home Sewing Exhibition, for example, was a response to a sort of a rise in handcraft. A lot of garments were having hand embroidery and stitching and things done on it. And young people were starting to do knitting and embroidery and things too. So we thought, what's the New Zealand heritage of handmaking? And so so we curated that exhibition. And so the exhibition that's on at the moment is a response really to that, I suppose, the Pacific Reset, it's called.
It's great, isn't it, to see that, emerging, because there's a big, even in art, fashion and music, the Pacifica people are emerging, and I think it's great. Because
I think we're starting to, as New Zealanders, we're starting to see ourselves more as Pacific people rather than than looking to the mother country, which perhaps an earlier generation did.
Yes, because I think we were very sort of influenced by European fashion, weren't we, in the early years. And that was the thing.
That's where we drew our inspiration.
Exactly.
And now we're looking more to ourselves for our inspiration.
Mm. Mm. What encouraged you to establish the museum?
The critical thing was that because I'd been involved in fashion, I think fashion's really important, and it's a really it's a really lovely way to think about our society. You know, how we dress ourselves says a lot about who we are.
Yes,
we dress up to communicate how we want to be seen, or
it's a part of us, isn't
it's
it?
It's part of us.
Your whole culture and everything. Yes.
So that's my sort of personal perspective, and I know that the museums like Te Papa and Auckland Museum and Napier, they've got wonderful collections of garments, but I didn't feel they used them enough. So I really wanted to find a way to use clothing much more to tell our stories. And so that really was the sort of inspiration for setting up the New Zealand Fashion Museum.
That's wonderful. Tell me a little bit more about what you do within the museum, and do other people help you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very much it very much relies on lots of other people. So we have no funding from the state. So we are funded by individual donations. So people and some grants that we get from organisations like Foundation North.
Mm.
We are funded, as a charity.
Yes.
And when we have this idea to do an exhibition, we do a sort of a shout out through the media to see who's got some garments that would help us to tell that story.
Right.
And you'll probably know that there are things in the back of people's wardrobes that they've had for a long time.
We all have something like that, don't we?
Yes, that you can't part with because it means something to you. It has wonderful memories. So people have things in their wardrobes, and if you ask them for them, they're more than happy to get them out and let them see the light of day.
Mm. Well, they're quite cherished, I should imagine. A lot of those could be their mothers or favourite aunts or something like that.
Yes, and the wonderful thing about that is, of course, that because they're owned by someone and have been kept by someone, there's a story that comes with them. And so,
Oh, very, very interesting. Now, I have heard about Walk the Walk, and it sounds very, very interesting. I haven't done this.
You haven't done one? Well,
no.
We do from time to time.
Yes.
So we do all, so I said, I'm telling you about the exhibitions we do. We also do things. So we are an online museum, so all the exhibitions, the content of those is collected by us, documented by us, and put online. And so anyone can go and visit our collections and our exhibitions online, even when they're finished. And Walk the Walk was an exhibition like that. So it's one of the other things things okay. that we do. It was an exhibition. Mm. It was an exhibition that was we had in Smith and Coe's 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it was looking at the fashion industry in the inner city. So we looked all sorts of businesses mm. that operated within a half a kilometre of Smith and Coe's.
Oh, really?
Because people didn't realise that that the inner city used to be where things were made. You know, there were factories and
I can sort of think back.
Yes.
On all that. And,
yes.
And
well, if
seeing
you think about
plaques up there, like LJ plaque, I think
exactly.
it's still there.
Yeah,
and
it is indeed.
What street is it? Somewhere
in Kingston Street. Yes.
In Kingston Street.
Yes,
I walked past that the other day.
Yes. So LJ is still there, but there are a whole lot of other businesses that were there. If you've so people who are a little older will remember that, you know, that everybody went to the city on the bus, you know, to work in the morning.
Yes.
And people worked in the city making clothes. Actually, the other exhibition that we've got on at the moment is called A Decorative Bias, which is looking at ties.
Okay. That's up at the Auckland Museum, isn't it?
No, it's on Kuringhapi Road in a shop window.
Okay.
And it's an exhibition of 100 years of tie making in New Zealand.
Which is very interesting. I mean, ties are, you know, people collect them.
Yes.
There's some fabulous ties around.
Yes. So it's the whole heritage of ties. But they have always been made. They're still made here in New Zealand. So for 100 years they've been made here in New Zealand.
Mm.
And the company who makes them used to be in the inner city in Lawn Street.
Oh, okay.
And
who was that?
That's Parisian Ties.
Oh, Parisian, of course, yes.
And Merrill Drive, when Merrill Drive and the Artea Centre went in, they went straight through their building. And they moved up to the top of Myers Park, just behind Kuringhapi Road.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So they are still a manufacturing company based in the central city.
Mm.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is. And the wonderful designers of the 80s, there were so many fantastic people and we still remember them, of course, don't we? Because they're right out there.
In the Walk the Walk exhibition, we had garments, but one of the other things we did was a walking tour through the city past these buildings,
right?
Just like the LJ with his signage still outside.
Does it still operate? Can you?
Oh, the Walk. Yes, the walk. Well, we do it from it, so it exists. You can download it. It's an app.
Oh, okay.
So you can put it on your phone, and any time you're in town, you can just have a look at where you are and see if there's any little stories around where you are in the city. So you can anyone can do it themselves at any time.
Mm.
And I take the walks over the summer.
Wow, okay.
Over the summer. So once a month or so, we do a walking tour of
And you get
of
plenty of people participating?
We do, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
No, it's lovely. It's a lovely thing to do.
Mm.
And one of the – so because there's such a lot of stories in the inner city.
Mm.
We tailor those walks to suit particular themes. So the 80s is one of the themes that we address, and that's very much centred around Vulcan Lane, of course, and the High Street District.
Mm.
And so
it's such a lovely area. It still is, fortunately.
It is. They're going to close it apparently, High Street, so that it becomes much more pedestrian friendly.
Oh, okay, to close it to traffic. Mm. Yes, but Vulcan Lane, I always love walking down there.
Well, that's a little bit earlier. Vulcan Lane was actually the first pedestrianised street in the city.
Yes.
But at the top of Vulcan Lane, you get that little area where Trelease Cooper started, for example.
Oh, okay.
Where World started, where Street Life, which became Workshop, and Helen Cherry, where they started. Mm. And it's actually where I started myself.
Yes.
In 1985.
And you're wearing one of your outfits that you actually designed today. I must say that Doris is looking lovely today and colourful. It's just
I still wear my own clothes.
Well, good on you. Yes. Why not?
Well, it's one of the lovely things. There's a lot of talk about sustainability at the moment. And
yes, that's right. There is. Mm.
And so my answer always to sustainability is just to buy good things and beautiful things, and keep them for a long time. And the suit that I'm wearing today that you're admiring is actually 18 years old.
Oh, And, really?
And young, and there's lovely young things in the street.
Oh,
they
my
stop
gosh.
Me and do the sort of wow about my suit, but it's actually 18
yes.
years old.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I'd never have thought that. Now, I was just sort of going, if we could perhaps take LJ, you know, and in his early days, Gus Fisher, was it?
Yes, Gus Fisher,
indeed. I mean, he was sort of was really big into, well, he was the first importer of Dior, wasn't
that's
he?
Well, in New Zealand? He didn't import Dior because, so LJ is indeed the very first exhibition that the Fashion Museum did, and we did the story of LJ because LJ was in business for 50 years. So
yes,
it was a business.
It was a long time, wasn't it?
So it was a high fashion label that operated for 50 years. It started in 1938 when the government closed the borders, and so people couldn't import whole goods
that's
anymore.
That's right, yes, yes.
And so things had to be made here. And
it was a good idea, really, because it started us off, didn't
it? Did,
it?
It did, it did, it
yes.
did. And that's right. And so LJ actually started as a manufacturer of, you know, just women's day dresses.
Yes.
At home dresses. But after the war, Gus, so it was his brother who established the business.
Was it? Okay.
And, yes, so LJ, Louis Jacob Fisher, he started it. So that's why it was called LJ and why the name has stuck.
And then Gus sort of took
it
over.
And Gus took it over because Lou was much more interested in some other parts of the business.
Yes.
Of other enterprises. And so Gus took that over. And he very much wanted to produce fashion. And so he toured to Europe looking for fabulous fabrics
yes.
to make beautiful coats and suits and things.
I remember his coats. I remember saving up to buy one when I...
Oh, fantastic. Yes, yes. Well, that's a lovely story because a lot of the, you know, people who would make their own clothes, but a beautiful coat was
yes.
something that actually if a specialist had made it for you, it was much more beautiful, wasn't it?
For sure.
So he through that... sourcing of the fabrics, he actually came in contact with Dior, who was looking for people that he could license the making of his garments to. And because Gus was using such beautiful fabrics, he was invited to be the licensee for New Zealand for
fantastic.
Dior. And that meant that Gus went to Paris twice a year to the shows. And
personally invited by Dior, that would have been a big deal, wouldn't it? Yes, well there's lovely photos of Gus with Dior and with
Yves Saint Laurent. And he would choose the styles that he thought would be suitable for the New Zealand market,
right?
And then he would so he would buy those, and they came with a garment and a pattern and the fabrics
and
the buttons and all the trimmings. And even
like a kit set
a kit set. Well, you had to cut them and make them yourselves here, but it was indeed like a kit set. So they were, the ones that were produced here in New Zealand were actually identical to the ones that were being produced in Paris. And there's a lovely little story that I like to tell about that, because they were being made here in New Zealand exactly the same as in Paris, but because the labour in New Zealand was cheaper, they were actually cheaper here. And so the wealthy American women used to come to New Zealand to buy their Dior.
Really?
Yes.
My gosh.
Yes, they did, to come and buy their Dior.
Yes.
So they bought their Dior from LJ.
Oh, that was clever thinking,
wasn't it?
Yes, almost what you'd call a bargain, but not quite,
no,
really.
That's right.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. He sort of, you said he was in business for 50 years.
Yes, so from 1938 to 1988, yes. And that's again what happened in 84 was the change of government when the borders were opened again. And that made it very difficult for manufacturing to continue in New Zealand. And that really was, you know, the sort of stress point. I suppose 50 years in the business, you might have, might have run out of a bit of puff as well. But,
exactly.
But it was indeed the sort of change to the to regulation here, which is, you know, actually it signalled the big shift in New Zealand fashion, that deregulation, because we've now got imports from all over the world that make the cost, the true cost of making something in New Zealand seem expensive.
Yes.
Yes. When in fact, it, you know, it's what, if you buy a New Zealand made garment, it's paying somebody a living wage.
And, of course.
You know, and it's an original design, and there will be very few of them. You know, so you're getting a beautiful...
Also, you know, you get what you pay for, really.
You get, absolutely, you get what you pay
because
for.
Some of this cheap clothing, I think, around today is sort of very trashy, isn't it, really?
I think you need to throw away stuff. Yes,
almost.
You need to ask yourself if the maker of it has been properly paid.
Yes, that's a point. It's a sort of a shame. But, yes, now, you've got two exhibitions on at the moment, haven't you?
Yes.
Would you like to talk about those?
Yes, they're funny, yes, do you? So the funny little one is the decorative bias, which is the 100 Years of Men's Ties.
Yes.
And it's just a lovely, bright little exhibition that sort of pops up in shop windows. It opened at the beginning of the year. So Parisian Ties is 100 years old today, this year.
Oh, wow.
And so it celebrates 100 years of tie-making in New Zealand.
And it's quite an art in making a good tie.
Oh, there's a beautiful little video.
Particularly the material, yes.
Well, it's the bias cutting. So it's called a decorative bias because... Mm. It's a bias cut piece that that men wear. It's one of the few embellishments that they they often wear. You know, men's suits tend to be a little bit sort of grey and understated.
Mm.
So
I always thought it was a shame when the tie's sort of lost. You know, now a lot of men just wear their suits with an open neck shirt.
Yep,
and I used to think, oh, what a shame. Those are lovely ties.
Well, it's a pity to just lose that, I suppose, that piece of your wardrobe that can give some expression to personality and give you a bit of colour, a pop of colour.
Exactly.
So this exhibition's on at the moment on Karanghape Road and in the shop window in Leo O'Malley's.
Oh, well, that's been there for years.
It has, but it's just closed.
Oh, has it?
It has come to the end of its... Yes.
Really?
Yes, it has.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's a bit of a pity. Isn't it?
Yeah, so you've sort of put your exhibition
in
the
window. And it's been touring around New Zealand. So in windows all around New Zealand, in New Plymouth, in Wellington, in Napier, in Hastings. And when it's finished here, it's going to Ashburton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a fun exhibition, that one. And the other exhibition that we've got on is on at the moment at Te Uru Waitakere Gallery.
Oh, that's...
Which is in Titirangi.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
And that's the contemporary... Pacific inflected New Zealand fashion. Yeah.
And do you have to personally go along yourself and sort of take all the clothes and the models?
Yes, that's the most fun. That's the most fun.
Yes. And you were telling me about the blue models.
The mannequins, yes. So for the Moana Currents exhibition, when we were looking at, so I've curated that with Dan Awa, who is the fashion editor of the Viva magazine, the New Zealand Herald magazine.
So wonderful.
He and I curated this together, which was why it's got a lovely, very sort of modern... fashionable sensibility, thanks to Dan's great eye.
Yes.
But when we wanted to tell the story about new people, our new New Zealand people, we had to think about how we were going to present that. And didn't really want to present it either on white models or on black models.
Well, the walls are very white up there, aren't they?
Always in a gallery.
Yes.
But we wanted just then to think about, you know, so what it means to be the sort of new people of the ocean, of the Pacific Ocean.
Yes.
We are Pacific Islanders here in New Zealand.
Well, we are.
North Island, South Island, Stewart Island.
Finally, we're all coming to recognise that.
And
in our art and music.
It's lovely to see that sort of change of focus to our geography.
I think so.
It's wonderful. So we thought, okay, a new story, new people. We'll paint them blue. We'll paint them the colour of the ocean.
Well, it's quite, you know, it's quite an impact when you walk in there. You think, oh, wow.
Yes,
a little bit different.
And they're a lovely example of how we raise the money to do these things. Mm. So we ran a boosted campaign to pay for them.
Oh, what was that sort of?
Boosted is a give a little.
Okay, so you went on sort of...
But it's particularly one that's sort of arts and culture focused.
Oh, okay. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it's called Boosted, and we ran that campaign, and within 3 days we had the money to pay for the mannequins.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Wasn't it amazing? Yes. So it's lovely to know that people, you know, sort of recognise, I suppose, the importance of... Mm. Talking about what we wear and what it means about
us. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Well, Doris, thank you very much for coming along today.
Absolute pleasure.
Talk a whole lot more.
Too little time, too much to say.
Yes. Unfortunately, we are running out of time a little bit, but it's been wonderful, and I'm sure our listeners are going to really enjoy hearing about the Fashion
Museum.
Great.
Well, I hope they'll visit the Fashion Museum just online. It's open 24/7, and the URL is nzfashionmuseum.org.nz.
God.
Free to visit, and you can go in your pyjamas.
That's an excellent idea. Thank you, Doris.
Deco Retro Future Events.
Now, listeners, today I want to read out a notice of the annual general meeting for Club Modern, which is the Auckland Art Deco Society in Auckland here. Now, the AGM is going to be at Neil Warrington's house, 213 Blockhouse Bay Road, that's on the corner of Acton Place, on Sunday the 13th of October 2019 at 2 p.m. And this will be followed by afternoon tea. Could all nominations, remits and notices of motion to be in the hands of the Secretary or posted to P.O. Box 109304 Newmarket by the 10th of October 2019. Thank you. Now, listeners, talking about Pacifica today, our song or our music to end the program is by Te Vaka, and it's Logo de Pate. And these people are the emerging voices of Pacific music today. Thank you, listeners, for being with us.
Lue, 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 lue.
Yo! Come in the middle. Hey, come in the middle. Yo! Hey, come on in to go. Do you find my love a camanino?
Enjoyed our program today, Listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m. or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/DecoRetro. And we would like to thank our sponsors, Club Moderne, Art Deco Society Auckland. We will keep you informed of all future exciting and glamorous events to be held by Club Moderne. For more information, email judith.moore650@gmail.com. That's judith.moore650@gmail.com. Bye for now.